can see you better then. The children have gone out now. James has gone out, so we must remember that when we come in later to give him a chance to say thank, to show us what he's been doing. It's fantastic. Well, this is an interesting chapter in Ephesians. If you've read Ephesians 5, there are an awful lot of topics that I could have covered today. In fact, we could have probably spent several weeks on this one chapter. But I decided instead that I would focus on verse 15 that said, "Be careful then how you live, not as wise, but as unwise." I started working as a pastoral worker when I was in my 30s. And I remember that one of the first visits that I was asked to do was to go and see a couple who had just retired. Well, I remember sitting in their lounge, drinking a cup of tea and thinking to myself, what on earth have I got to offer these people? And it was a real kind of, gosh, what am I doing here moment. And I just thought, I have no experience at all in this. And shortly afterwards, I was reading a book that someone had recommended, all about the book of Proverbs. And in it, the writer of this book suggested that one exercise you can do is to read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day for a month, because there are actually 31 books in Proverbs. And I did it for a few months. It's quite interesting. And I suppose there's a lot in there that speaks about wisdom, including these verses that I put up here. "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her." And I think it really sunk in that what I would need more than anything if I was going to be a pastoral worker was going to be the gift of wisdom. So I asked God for that. Now, I definitely do not always make wise decisions. And I think one of my biggest things is I'm often led by my heart rather than my head. But there have been many times through the years when I have been in really difficult situations, often involving conflict between different people, where I've been there trying to help people see ways through things, where definitely I don't think I could have done it without God's help and guidance. So I was looking up wisdom. I Googled quotes about wisdom, and there are a few quotes that came up I thought I'd share with you. This is George Patton. "When in doubt, observe and ask questions. When certain, observe at length and ask many more questions." Einstein: "A clever person solves a problem, a wise person avoids it." Edgar Cayce: "Anyone can find fault. It is a wise person who finds that which encourages another in the turmoils and strifes of the day." Maya Angelou: "I've learnt that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel." And Socrates: "Mankind is made of two kinds of people, wise people who know they're fools, and fools who think they're wise." So, what is wisdom? The Cambridge Dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. But we know that wisdom isn't just about age and experience. As I've said, it's a gift from God, and very young people can be wise. Jesus showed immense wisdom from a very young age. We read in the Bible in Luke 2:40, it says, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him." And then when he first started his ministry in Matthew 13:54, it says, "Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in the synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and his miraculous powers?" they asked. But of course, we know that Jesus is part of the Trinity. He's fully God and fully human, coming to earth and being God with us. So we would expect him to be wise. But there were other people in the Bible. Most famously, King Solomon. He came to the throne after his father David, when he was still quite a young man. And we read in 1 Kings that he went and spent time worshipping God at the start of his reign. And God appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "Ask of me whatever you want." And Solomon answered, "You have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" So that was his heart's cry, that he would have the wisdom. And God was obviously really pleased with that. So he granted him that. He gave him great wisdom. And he also blessed him with riches and wealth that he hadn't asked for. And in 1 Kings 4:29, we read that God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. Wouldn't it be great to have wisdom that was measureless as the sand on the seashore? I think we'd all like to be wise like that. I'm not sure that we can be, but it's good to look for it, isn't it, to try and get there. So wisdom's not just about age, although obviously we do learn by the mistakes we make in life, hopefully, so maybe as we get older we do get wiser. But we know that wisdom is that gift from God, and right at the start of Ephesians, we read back in chapter 1, Paul writing, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." The more we know God, the more we're likely to be able to live our lives in the same way that Jesus did when he was here on earth, showing the same love and compassion that he did, also making wise decisions and wise judgments as Jesus did. Living in the world isn't easy, is it? There are so many temptations. There are so many different voices telling us the things that we should do, what will make us happy, what we should buy, how we should spend our time and our money. We're built to be in relationship with others, but sometimes that adds to the challenges. We want to be liked, to fit in. And it's so easy to fit in with the suggestions of others, even when they're not perhaps the way that we would choose to do things if we really thought about it. Choosing to focus first on our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, will really help us in being wise in all our relationships. The opening verse of this chapter 5 that Tara read to us refers to us as dearly loved children. And just as any parent wants to guide their children in the decisions they make, so too does God. He sent Jesus into the world to live among us so he would understand all the challenges and temptations of being human. He lived on earth and gave us an example to follow. So these opening verses of chapter 5 say, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So living a life of love doesn't mean hugging everyone we meet or saying yes to everything so as not to upset people. It means being wise, thinking about what we say and do, seeking always to show that love in what we say and in what we do and our outlook on life. Being wise also means, just as parents have to give tough love to their children, there will be things that we will want to say no to because they're not in line with God's teaching or the example set by Jesus when he was on earth. I think that godly wisdom involves thinking about things, weighing up possibilities, being prepared to say no or to challenge things, to pray before we make big decisions, to listen to God, to seek his wisdom and his guidance. Our gospel reading today reminded us that Jesus could control the wind and the waves just by speaking to them. And his disciples responded by saying, "Who is this? He commands the winds and waves, and they obey him." When Jesus went back into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide and our helper. And when we live our lives in tune with him, others will see him in us. Maybe they will see us making wise decisions. And it will seek them to ask questions about where our wisdom comes from. So I wanted to just give us a chance now to ask God to give us the gift of wisdom, so that we might live our lives not as unwise, but as wise people, following that example of Jesus. So I'm just going to pray and give us a moment of quiet just to do that if we'd like to. Father God, we thank you for the many gifts that you give to us. Today we want to acknowledge how much we need your wisdom for all the things that we face in our world. We just want to have space now to ask you in our hearts for that gift.